Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Can we give it up for the worship team? They've been so dynamic, leading us spiritually today. Amen. We still got a little bit of a hum down here. Should we all hum? Let's all hum. Hum. It'll go away that way. It is fantastic to be here, and as it says behind me on the screen, we are celebrating graduation season, right? A lot of people have graduated. Raise your hand if you know someone who has graduated this year at any level, any grade. Wow, most of the room, okay. And I know we even have some graduates in the room, so let's just go ahead. Anyone who has graduated 2017 in any way, shape, or form, elementary, middle school, high school, college, special program, grad school, etc., stand up, let us recognize you. Graduation is a big deal. We celebrate it. Huge ceremonies. All the parents turn into paparazzi. It gets violent. Performances, awards, commencement speeches. And if you even see a total stranger walking down the street in a cap and gown, what do we say? We say, congratulations. Congratulations. And it's a huge milestone and a great accomplishment. Even spiritually speaking, we celebrate progress publicly. And I'll show you a scripture here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 15, Paul is telling his protege, Timothy, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. That progress is visible. Now, a lot of people in America will argue that sometimes we take our award ceremonies and our graduations a little too far. You ever heard that? We're in the era of participation awards, right? So as it says on the screen, you can get a medal or an award that says you participated, so congratulations, right? And some people are like, wait a minute, all I had to do was show up and I get an award? That seems easy, right? There's a little bit of a controversy on both sides of that. There are a few that I looked up online. There's one, I don't know if you can tell, but some people got a ribbon that said, put on pants today. So once they put their pants on, they got a ribbon. Another one was, I talked to people today, and that's a pin that you would get on a certain event if you just went ahead and had a conversation with someone. And then one of my personal favorites is Still Alive. That's the Still Alive Award. And, you know, a lot of people think different things about this whole idea of participation awards. We'll talk about that a little bit. And this week, as I went to my son's graduation out of elementary school and into middle school, and I went to another graduation party of someone who's graduating high school, going into college, and just around this, I'm thinking, what does this word mean? What is graduation all about? And so, of course, I did a little searching, and I found out that this word graduate or degree comes from the Latin for gratis. It's this word gratis. And the word gratis literally means step. It means step. Not the end, not the finish line, just a step to graduate to the next level, to progress. And there's a few interesting quotes that I put up here for you. The first one by Colson Whitehead, who says, congratulations at a commencement speech he gave recently. Congratulations on finishing Act One. Right? This is not the end. This is the beginning. Bernie Siegel says, graduations are not terminations, but commencements. I'm grateful that graduations aren't terminations. Carol Burnett says, we don't stop going to school when we graduate. Amen? That we're always in school if we have the heart that we're always learning. And we can learn from so many different places in our lives. I want to share with you another scripture that will lead us into the big message today. Philippians chapter 3. Let's open our Bibles there, or you can read with me on the screen. Philippians chapter 3. It's a familiar passage to many of us, alludes to this idea of progress in a spiritual sense. and will give us some insight into this idea. Verse 12 through 14, I picked a couple of parts here. It says, not that I, this is Paul speaking, says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. And skips down a little bit. It says, one thing I do, one thing, I forget what's behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We'll stop there for a minute. So Paul was basically saying, look, I'm not done with life. I haven't graduated all the way through life yet. I haven't arrived yet, but I've taken some steps. And he decided that he's going to keep pressing on, that he's going to keep persevering. The word here, he says, I'm straining towards what is ahead. In the Greek, there's this word ekteno, which is this idea that your body is stretching out. Everybody stretch forward their arm without hitting the person in front of you. And now once you're at full extension, see if you can stretch even farther. You have this extra ability. That's okay. Don't hurt each other. You have this extra ability. That's what straining, that's what ekteno is. That is, you're all the way out there, but you reach a little farther. You strain towards what is ahead. You press on toward the goal. You don't think you have it in you, but then you do. That's this concept spiritually. Paul's saying, I'm not in a spiritual sprint. I'm in a spiritual marathon. Now, although he wasn't done, he had this thrill in him, the thrill for the hunt of heaven. That he was on his way somewhere and nothing was going to stop him from getting there. Every single step was vital for him to get there. Yeah, I do agree participation awards can kind of get out of hand. But there's another way to look at it with spiritual eyes. And I'll encapsulate it with this phrase. Celebrate the steps. Celebrate the steps. Celebrate the steps. You know, sometimes we miss the small victories that we really need to be celebrating. Because the Lord knows that we dwell on all the defeats. But we're good at that. Nine great things could happen in a week. And one bad one. And what are we thinking most about? We are on it. We're thinking about the bad grade, the parking ticket, the one person that said something mean, the one negative thing, the one thing. Even though so much good has happened in that week, that's what we go to. We train ourselves to sit on the bad stuff. Some of us are obsessed with the news because it's like a bad accident that happens on the road and everyone's slowing down to gawk at it, right? Even though it's terrible. But we slow down. We ruminate. That's what psychologists call it, rumination. Repeating negative experiences, replaying conversations, dwelling on injuries, injustice, saying, why me? Why would they say that? Why such negativity? Am I looked at that way? Have you ever been there? There was a Yale study that says the more we ruminate, the more depressed we get. Did we need a professional study to prove that? The more you ruminate on the bad stuff, the more sad you're going to get, right? Yeah. It makes sense, but we've been there. We've ruminated. At times we can't sleep at night because we're thinking about the negative, the bad. And we get stuck. We get disconnected. And then we even come to church in a place like this, but we're not fully present. We're somewhere else in our minds. We're giving hugs. We're saying the right things. We're going to lunch afterward, but we're thinking about something else. We're ruminating. Now, perhaps it's just part of growing up and maturing, but at some point we embrace the fact that we live in a fallen world. And there's always going to be negative around us, but it's our job to go to God and to find where the faithful sparks are, right? That's our job as people that follow our great God. And I reference it up here, but in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it's an incredible verse that reminds us of the way God looks at the earth. Because it says there that for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So when his eyes are ranging across the globe, is he looking for and dwelling on the negative? No! He's all about the faithful. He's looking for you guys who have been fighting the good fights. He's looking for the good. He's looking for those who are making steps in the right direction, who are graduating through the progress of our spiritual lives. He wants to celebrate each big and each small victory in your life. No great thing happens in our lives without that first faithful step. The first step. You guys remember Indiana Jones? In the Last Crusade, there's a moment where he's got to cross a huge chasm, right? And he puts his foot out there over this huge chasm, and he's got to have the faith to believe that when he steps down, there's going to be a bridge there, right? Who's with me? Is this way too old of a movie for most of the people in the room? All right. The preteens went downstairs for their class, right? Okay. No? All right. Indiana Jones, it's a classic. And there are times in our spiritual lives where we feel like that, where we're about to make a decision, and we feel like Indiana Jones with our leg up going, is there anything there for me to land on? Big decision. You know, I remember, and many of you guys probably do as well, when you made your first spiritual step towards God, and what that felt like, whether it was someone who invited you to church, or opened up the Bible with you, or had a prayer with you, or you saw something. And we remember making those decisions step by step by step, graduating through the different process that we go through until we make Jesus Lord and are baptized. I remember my first step coming out of the door to get married. And before I took that step, I was on my knees praying, God, if she's not the one, end it now. I will send these guests home. I found out later she was praying the same prayer. Remember that first step? Remember the first step through the hospital doors to see my kids born? And of course, we celebrate when our kids take their first steps. It's a big deal. Big deal when your kids take the first steps. I remember a big spiritual step in my life was getting off the plane at JFK, one-way ticket from LAX to move to New York City from Los Angeles. That was a big step. Especially when you come to a crazy place like New York. My first week was interesting here. I went out to go pray on the Hudson. And on my way back, I was feeling good. It was a nice spring day in New York City. I was like, yes, God is confirming all of our decisions to move here and take up everything and sell everything we got. Come to this insane city. And as I'm walking the street, a car slowed down in front of me. The back window opened up of the SUV and a hand came out and threw a rock at me. The rock hit me in the chest. Luckily, I had a backpack on with padding. Hit me really hard right there. And then the car went up. It was a drive-by rocking. I started running after the car, angry, as if I was going to do anything to the car. They probably had more rocks, so I stopped. Why am I chasing this car? And then I thought, God, everything I thought is wrong. Not supposed to be here. First steps. Arlene and I got to spend some time with Neil Armstrong a couple of years before he died. First man on the moon. For those that didn't know, Indiana Jones, Neil Armstrong, you gotta know. And the whole world watched as he took his first step. And he said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It's a big first step. Biblically, I think about first steps. Moses' first steps towards Egypt after the burning bush. Might have been a little nervous going back in. Joshua's first steps around Jericho. Was he anxious? Was he excited? Did he know the walls were going to fall? I mean, I don't know. Esther's first step towards the king to ask for her people's freedom. Tried it 3 times, right? Had to step again. Nehemiah's first step toward the ruined walls of Jerusalem. The trepidation he must have felt. Mary's first step away from the conversation with an angel that she would bear the Messiah. First steps. Peter's first step out of the boat to walk on water. Interesting first step. First step is actually okay. The other steps were more difficult. Jesus' first step to the cross on the Via Dolorosa. 650 yards of steps towards the end. And what am I saying? I'm saying none of us here right now are finished with our race yet. meaning we haven't arrived. We're not made complete. We're not perfect. We haven't been united with the Father. And that means we're still taking steps. But too many of us, we don't celebrate the small steps. We don't celebrate the progress. In fact, some of us do the opposite. You don't value the small steps. You berate the small steps. You downplay the steps. Even when others try to encourage you, say, no, it's just a small thing. Brothers, sisters, friends make great strides in their purity or their outreach or different parts of their righteousness or in relationships. And we say, well, you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. Imagine a parent seeing their child's first steps and saying, about time. I've been sitting over here waiting. It's what you're supposed to do. You think that's God's spirit? When we make small steps of progress toward Him, He's celebrating. I don't want to be like that, and you don't want to be like that either. But there's a fear. There's a fear of giving into complacency. There's a fear that being spiritual will be seen as something special. You guys heard what I said? There's a fear that someone will think, oh my gosh, the church is going to go downhill because everyone's going to think that being spiritual is something unique and special. Guess what, guys? Being spiritual is something special. It's pretty amazing. Where apathy is the norm in our world, a collective desensitized cultural dominance of the nation's thinking, where they're aspiritual or unspiritual, someone being spiritual is unique and it is special and we should celebrate it. It's an amazing victory. Seems like a small step, but it's a big one. It's a huge deal. And I'll be the first to happily accept the award of still alive in the kingdom of God. Still faithful, still here. I'll take it. I'll take a participation award. I'm participating. Now there's only, we're talking about taking steps. There's no half stepping in the kingdom of God. So when we talk about participating in the kingdom of God, it's you are either a disciple of Jesus or you're not. There is no half stepping. I'll explain that to some of the people from Manhattan later. Survival. It's okay, Josh. We'll have a good talk. There's a great brother who used to mentor me in Los Angeles, and he says survival is underrated. Spiritual survival is underrated. You're still here. You're fighting for your faith. You're on track. You're headed towards heaven. Yeah, I know you've had some rough spots. Go ahead and run a marathon. You're going to have some rough spots there too. But we're going to finish. Whether we crawl across the finish line, limping, hurt, crying, we will cross. My challenge for us is to look for opportunities to celebrate a spiritual step. This week, today, tomorrow, look for opportunities this week to celebrate a spiritual step. Whether it's you or somebody else, do something. Aren't we good at throwing parties? I'm not just talking about church. In America, we're really good at throwing parties, right? What are some of the things we throw parties for? Birthdays, July 4th, what else? Yell it out loud. Come on, let's get rocking. Right? Weddings, anniversaries. The list goes on and on and on, right? Housewarming every holiday. We love to throw a party. Any excuse to throw a party. We have parties. Why not for a righteous step? Why not for someone deciding, you know what? I'm going to make a decision to be pure. Now I'm going to make a decision that I'm going to change up the way that I interact with other people. I'm going to give more than I take. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to change that thing that's been haunting me in my sin. How about that? How about we throw a party for that? You say, no, I don't want to throw a party. I get it. There's some people that aren't clapping. I get it. I understand. For you, I have a couple scriptures. Because you're a little bit like the Israelites in the Old Testament, my people. And there were actually rules in the Bible, in Exodus especially, because God knew that these people wouldn't want to celebrate because things were bad. So He put some rules for the Israelites to celebrate spiritual progress. the Harvest Festival, the Unleavened Bread Festival, the Passover, the Festival of Weeks, even though things were tough on the Jews, you look at the instructions that God gave them and the way that he wanted them to behave, and it was a constant party. That's God. Psalm 2, here's a few scriptures for you. In verse 11, celebrate the Lord's rule. Celebrate. When is the Lord's rule not ruling? Never. So when should we be celebrating? Hello, Psalm 89, verse 16. They rejoice in your name how often? All day long. They celebrate your righteousness. You say, but I'm down. It's been hard. There's a lot going on with me. Man, my job. Man, this. I get it. It's hard. And you know what? We just look far enough and you'll find someone who, quote unquote, has it harder than you, right? It's tough. We live in a fallen world. We already discussed that. We established that Genesis chapter 1, right? But now we decide, I'm going to have joy in my heart because God rules. And that never stops. I have something to be joyful about. Psalm 145 in verse 7. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Israelites were slaves. They were beaten. They were murdered. They were executed constantly. The Christians in the first century executed martyrdom constantly. And yet they are taught, they are expected to have joy in their hearts because God rules. And that's the way that we decide to celebrate the steps. You know, some of us are just no fun. You make Christianity look like a funeral. You gotta lighten up. Laugh at the joke. It's okay. Lighten up. Stop being so critical. Crack a smile. You're so proud. Give a hug. Come on. Oh, we're sensitive now. Okay. I got more scriptures. Now let me just flip a little bit because some of you clap too fast. You're way too fun. Your fun turns into worldliness real quick. So I don't want to hear afterward, but John said, have my scriptures. Okay. Where can we get some guidance? Jesus. Jesus. Did Jesus have fun? I love when he snuck up on the guys after he had died, right? Wasn't that awesome? They're on the road to Emmaus. They're totally down. And he's like, what's up, guys? Was that Jesus? Jesus had a great sense of humor. Having a great time. Loving life. Celebrating the steps. With who? Was he just with the righteous? He's actually called for the unrighteous, for the sick. That's why they call him the great physician. Who do the physicians hang out with? The sick. He was with tax collectors and sinners, with weddings and wine and dinners and lots of people becoming believers in the process. When you think about Acts chapter 2, the ultimate picture of the united first century church, what do you see? Spending every day together. Yes, they were small, cramped in, living, apartments, overcrowded, overpriced cities. Sound familiar? But they were filled with joy. Filled with joy. Why? Because it was easy? No, because they decided. They decided to celebrate the steps. You know, we've had an amazing week in Manhattan. In our most nomadic phase, where we don't even have a church home to meet. By the way, thank you, Brooklyn, for helping us, because we had no place to go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are very grateful. I know it's not your normal spot. Thank you so much. They called us up a couple weeks ago. Hey, you're canceled on Father's Day. Thanks for that. You're also canceled on the 25th. Which was supposed to be our last service in the space. They're like, but you can still meet there. There just won't be water. So no bathrooms, but... All right, well, I guess we're not going to meet there. So we're very grateful to be here. And then, God seems to work when things are a little bit, unstable in our reality, right? And we had this amazing week. We saw three miracles, three people become Christians this week. They're They are each just so absolutely brilliant in their own right. Ray was baptized in the ocean, Rahul in 10th Street, Elizabeth in the Hudson River. And she was glowing because of the Spirit, not because of the Hudson. It was awesome. They cleaned the Hudson. And we celebrate. We celebrate. We celebrate the steps. This gratis is the best decision they'll ever make. And I don't have time to share about all three, but I wanted to just share a little bit about Renee and Rahul. You know, Renee was in the arts ministry for many years and a faithful Christian and still just an outstanding singer and performer and servant. She was up here earlier singing, a beautiful voice, amazing person. And she started doing really well in her career many years ago and making good money with her business and never really desired to be a parent per se, but God had put it on her heart to be able to share all that has been given with her with someone else. So she adopted a 7.5-year-old boy from India named Rahul. And so Rahul came to the U.S. And as you can imagine, if you just move from another place to the U.S., there's a lot of adjusting that needs to take place. Moving from India, a lot of adjusting. Moving from an orphanage in India, a lot of adjusting. And there was a lot of trauma. Adjusting was hard. It's a lot of pain and anger. At one point, Rahul decided to run away from Renee and ended up running through streets with cars whizzing by. And basically, he was trying to get home. And at some point, as Renee is chasing after him, Renee is standing on the side of the road trying to figure out, how do I parent this? Do I grab him and try to get, how do I do this? So she's praying to God, and eventually he turns to her and walks back and just collapses into her arms. You know, they've been through a lot together, and I've asked them if it was okay if I could share some of this, and they said yes. And another time, Renee was trying to help him with his anger, trying to redirect some of that anger. You can imagine where that anger would come from, and, you know, why, and my family, and what are the answers to my deep questions. And so they decided that instead of throwing things at each other, they would throw things at the ground. So Renee grabbed a stack of dishes and said, okay, you take one and I take one, and we're just going to smash dishes on the ground. The only rule is, not at me. And they would go through times like this, just working through the intensity together. Renee shared at the baptism that for a long time, Rahul had no faith. The concept of a good God was very challenging for him, as you can imagine. And he didn't care much for church, but the church cared deeply for him. God cared deeply for him. And Renee was inviting disciples in her home, setting up times and dinners and hangouts and doing all the incredible hero single mom stuff. And you know, whenever you get Mark Thompson around someone, it's just sort of irresistible. I don't know if you can see the picture, but that's Mark normally, all right? In his sleep, I think he's like that. You know, he's just eyes are closed. And Rahul is up. You can see him on the top left. And this was around that time where he had just made some decisions. Rahul, there were a lot of first steps, of course, for Rahul. But even just willingly to come to church was a huge deal. And we celebrated that decision. He started asking questions and warming up to the fellowship and digging deep and coming to church and coming to the Sunday classes with the other kids and engaging. And when he started smiling, that was another huge step. Yeah. And then he started studying the Bible, digging in deep, starting that relationship with God, and had this deep desire of his to have a father. So I have another good picture of Mark and Rahul together here. This is where Rahul started to crack that smile a little bit. It was good. But, you know, just this past Sunday, Renee was sharing that, you know, there's a deep desire in Rahul to have a dad. And this past Father's Day, Rahul got the perfect dad when he came up out of that water and made Jesus the Lord. smiles all the time. I mean, he's singing out. He's right here, just smiling, loving it. Sorry. I won't. He's awesome. He's over here. But thank you guys for letting me share about you guys. I'm just so grateful for all the miracles that are represented here today and the future miracles that are going to happen. As I close out, the singers are going to come on the stage, and I want you to hear some of these final thoughts. You know, going back to that very first verse that we looked at, from Paul to his graduate Timothy. So what was he saying? So that everyone may see your progress. You know, the word progress here is, again, it's the steps that make up the bigger picture. Literally, progress is broken down in the Greek, strokes. As if you imagine a swimmer swimming, strokes that build up the lap, that build up the time that the person is in the water swimming. So it's a little snapshot. Progress, graduating, moving forward. And today's lesson is, let's not miss out on these steps. You know, some of us are making big steps even today. Some of us in the room are studying the Bible or deciding that, hey, I want to study the Bible. I want to make the decision that Rahul did, Elizabeth did, Ray did. I want to find out for myself about the veracity of Scripture. Some of us are deciding to get baptized soon. Or maybe some of us are starting a new relationship or thinking about marriage or kids or there's a new home or a job change or you're moving somewhere. In any transition, we have an opportunity to graduate, to progress, to move forward, and to get closer to heaven. I love this scripture in Job 17:9. The New Living says, "The righteous keep moving forward." Can we all say that together? The righteous keep moving forward. Say it again. The righteous keep moving forward. You know, to graduate means you take a step forward. Keep moving forward. Don't quit. Like Jesus kept walking, even if it seems like you're in a slow part of the process or it's just a small step. Keep going. Don't stop stepping. Amen? Let's all stand up. Let's celebrate the spiritual steps with rejoicing. Amen.